Mighty Dark Dinobot.
They've got something new now. It's called the Press Box.
You're back in the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
One in the books, two to go. Second hour of the show starting right now in the Press Box. ESPN 92.5, 97.5 FM. Nick and myself taking you till 4. That's what we do around here. Lots of good conversation. Lots of topics. Astros red hot. Sean Watson not. Lots of details on a daily basis as we continue to just get over and over again. The next phase is now all the sponsors that are pulling out.
Yeah.
Pulling out with Sean.
See what you did there.
Yeah. So, you got that on the table. We mentioned the Masters getting ready to start. Tiger not being a part of that, but the story comes out. Tiger's cause of his crash in California was excessive speed. Okay. Why is that, as Nick said, why is that front page news at ESPN?
And it took forever for them to get that information out. I don't know if just... I'm just shocked that it's news. Look, Tiger is Tiger. Golf is not the same without Tiger. I think we can all agree with that. I think golf enthusiasts can agree with that. But you know what I mean? I just don't see why that's the biggest news of the day. Our buddy Clarence is on the line. He's on the HRMP hotline if you want to take him.
The big C in here. What's up, Clarence?
Hello?
Clarence.
How you doing, bud?
Hello?
Speak, Clarence. What's up?
What's going on, guys? How's it doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I am doing fantastic on this wonderful Wednesday.
Good to hear from you, brother. What's on your mind?
All right, let's get down and dirty with this Deshaun thing. First off, let me say something about the organization. So you mean to tell me some guy, by massage did, knows about it, and we're supposed to believe no one knows about it? That organization... from the top down, is kind of discombobulated and a mess. Because I'm sure at your job, if you do something, you check out something, there's going to be some questions asked. Someone's going to ask one or two questions like, okay, why are you going to the Houstonian with a massage table? Well, Deshaun wants it. Okay, why isn't Deshaun using our 14, 15 massage therapists that we have on staff? What? You know, someone should have told Deshaun, hey, you know what? Don't care. You need to use our massage therapist. We're going to even put that in the contract. Don't even go outside. You are worth way too much money to be doing all this. Someone should have clicked in somebody's head. Now, as far as Deshaun goes, he's guilty. I'm not going to be blind. Where there's smoke, there's fire. He's guilty. Is it all of them? No. Is it some of them? Yes. But he's guilty. For Busby, this is my whole problem with Busby. You're saying that it's not about money and they want $500 or whatever the rumor is. If it's not about money, and we all know he's guilty, take his bumps off the court. Let's get him criminally charged just to get another predator who's been preying on these women off the street. They all did the same thing with Bill Cosby. Why can't we do it with Deshaun? Why can't we get that predator off the street and make an example out of him for every other football player or athlete or any person in a position of power who feels they could prey on any woman in any kind of way and make an example straight out of him?
Look, Clarence, here's the thing, and some of the stuff I've already said, but I think that what we really need to do now is just start kind of sorting through everything and sort out those that are just trying to make a buck and the cases that are legitimate. And then you've got to let it play out so that we can see, you know, where you're at. I can't sit there and just unequivocally say he's guilty. It doesn't seem like it's adding up in his favor. But that's kind of where I had the biggest issue in having discussions after the show yesterday is that – you know, my opinion changes kind of on a daily basis. Do I think that he's completely innocent? Absolutely not. But I don't know the level of his guilt yet. And I think you bring up a good point that more of these females, instead of just looking to file a case in civil court, should seek legal action and attention if they truly believe that this was to that level and they were that offended and they were that bothered by what happened.
Yeah.
I also have said over and over again, and I verified this, the Texans employ 10 to 12 massage therapists. If this was truly about massage therapists and getting the right attention for injured muscles, then there's no doubt. But I don't know, and Nick, maybe you know you have an opinion on this. I don't know how many people internally in the Texans organization realized that their quarterback had a fetish for massage therapists.
Well, not only that, and that's going to be one of the two points that I want to bring up. Number one, what you said, Clarence, was kind of to my point. It is a class action lawsuit, so to a certain extent, it's kind of hard for you not to believe that it's not about money. But at the same time, I did make that point yesterday. If I talked about Ashley Solis, and I said, if I am going to be a person or a woman who's been traumatized or violated that way, and now I'm going to go on a podium and face the media, not necessarily answer questions, but make a statement, that's still a tough thing to do. Why go through all that trouble unless you want to go through a criminal investigation? Unless it is purely about money, you just don't want it to go criminal, you just want to get the money and go. That could be a possibility too. So I kind of said what you said on yesterday's program, Clarence. That's number one. Number two, if there's anybody, you said someone from the top down should have realized his problem and told him not to do it otherwise. Well, it had to be the right person. It can't be anybody, because a lot of people would be afraid in that organization to bring that to light in fear of losing their job. Now, if Jack Easterby or the coach or general manager brings that up, I think that's a whole different situation. But some random trainer or someone from the staff, if they bring that up, they could lose that job. That I would be in fear. If I was just a guy that was just, you know, the equipment manager's assistant, like Tony at the Rockets, but I was just working under him. Tony's buddy, he's the equipment manager for the Houston Rockets. He's known Joel for a long time. If I was just being his assistant, I'm not going to be the guy that reveals that information, because I'll be afraid of losing my job.
Oh,
I'm not
absolutely.
You know what I mean? So it has to be the right person in the organization to see that this is an issue. And then that person has to be brave enough and honest enough to bring that to light. It can't just be any random person in the organization, because most people would be afraid to lose their
this
job.
This gets back to what I was talking about too, Nick. There are certain people, regardless of what their title is to the public, regardless of their title is in the media guide, there are certain people within every organization in which you know if there is an issue, if there's something going on, you get in touch with this person. And then they might bring someone else into it, maybe someone higher on the food chain, or maybe someone from another department like PR or otherwise. But the main thing is, there was a guy named Robert Barr. Robert Barr was as integral and important to the Houston Rockets organization for years and years and years that no one on the outside
had a clue
knew.
About.
They looked at him and they were like, who's that guy behind the bench? Why is he always there? What does he really do? Wait a minute. He's got an assistant coach title at one time. Then he was like almost president of basketball operations. They didn't get it. Well, guess what? The minute something went wrong, didn't matter if it was legal, didn't matter if it was like a car, you know, your car broke down, whatever the case may be, you call Barr, it gets taken care of.
Wow.
Robert knew the right people. If you need an attorney, I got you. If you need to talk to the authorities because someone did you wrong, I got you. If someone's trying to extort money from you, I got you. It doesn't matter what the situation was, but Robert Barr was the guy you went to, and that's why he had value. And every organization has someone like that, if not more.
If you don't mind, when did his tenure end, or is he still there with the Rockets?
No, he was there he was there before I got there.
Like an approximate year range.
He was there for the
range.
Championship years.
So in the 90s?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He
was there from the 90s benefit. On for quite a while.
Here's the benefit that he had that most people like that do not have today. You got to be a digital expert, because you don't know what the hell these players are DMing and sending on Instagram, on Twitter, and all. You have to be an expert. And there's been people that talk about, like, people in the industry where they might have said something on the air and it got published on websites like Awful Announcing. And then there's agents that go out there and all they do is try to remove that from the internet. You know why? Because it's called reputation repair, reputation damage, reputation protection. That's what it's about. There's actually services. Now, Barr, I'm not saying he wasn't good at his job. I don't even know him, and I didn't even know that he existed until you told me about him. But he did have that advantage of being around in the 90s where you don't know what
Well, there wasn't cell phones with cameras. There wasn't social media. Yeah. There wasn't those things
and
that
Rusty's
add that
didn't know
extra
everything
wrinkle.
About Deshaun. His attorney did not know everything
but here's
about
this. You know, like you don't trust Easterby. I've told you, none of the players in this league, let alone on this team in Houston, trust Rafael Stone. You need someone like a Robert Barr that you can trust. Because the other thing is, you need the honesty from the player. When I call you into my office, or you call me first, we're going to have a real conversation. It's going to be off the record between you and me. But I need to know what no one else knows. Are there DMs? Have you ever apologized? What have you said to this person that might be a red flag going forward?
It's
going to
turn into a full-blown class.
The more honest you are with me now, the more I can help you later.
Yeah. I mean, it needs to turn into a full-blown class, Joel.
Yeah.
This is what you can't write in DMs. Seriously. If they're doing PR training and media training, why aren't they doing DM training? Because that's what gets everybody in trouble.
Part of my degree in college in sports management was sports law, and it dealt with all the different legal actions.
Yep.
You're right. The next extension of that for sports management type individuals in colleges, how in the world, a class on how you deal with social media.
They have to, man. If they don't do that, if they don't start that, look, we're seeing players that tweets something out at 14 years of age, and then when he makes it to the big leagues or to the NFL or to the NBA.
Josh Hader in Milwaukee.
That's who I was thinking of. At 21, 22, 23, 24 years of age, and now it's messing with his money and his career because he's tweeted something stupid
at
14.
And N-bombs and all
that. Bro, you need a class now.
But that's what I said about Deshaun. Your people. A lot of those people should be fired because if you don't get it, the people that you hired are supposed to already be ready to get it and go, time to scrub social media before you make it big. Time to pull all of this down. Make sure no one ever sees a record of this happening. And then what happened? When you and I were on a remote and we in Webster and someone started showing us, hey, Deshaun never scrubbed the massage that he got in high school under the bleachers and all these different
tweets.
It's
not just scrubbing, though. It's before. Like, hey, look, it looks like you might be a star. It looks like you're an athlete. You're in high school. It looks like colleges are starting to recruit you. It looks like you might be a star in the big level. We just want to sit down and talk to you about how you interact with people that are not a part of the team, that are not a part of your personal life, that we want to talk to. We don't want to get in your life. We don't want to tell you what to do. But here's some examples of people sending DMs like Deshaun Watson, and this is how his career ended up. That's what I would do. Now, the scrubbing part, that's not to say that scrubbing your social media is not important. Because maybe you learned about this after you've tweeted or posted two or three bad things. But that needs to be a discussion. And maybe in Deshaun Watson's case, Joel, they just didn't assume or expect Deshaun Watson to do that.
He looked so squeaky clean.
He just assumed
everything just looked like
he was a good guy. Why even have the conversation?
Perfect example of what a role model should be.
Yeah.
And that's why I said there's two sides to everybody and every story and every person that a lot of times you don't want to believe it. You had no idea you could believe it, and now it's out there.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to continue to roll on. You guys want to be a part of the program like Clarence, 713-780-3776 for calls and text messages. Otherwise, Twitch and Twitter as we're constantly interacting. Before we go to the break, I want to tell you about New Brakes. Look, this company's fantastic. And when I was talking to their guys and understanding what was going on with New Brakes, it just makes so much sense. If you need something done with your brakes, you need brake pads, you need your brakes checked, you need work done on your brakes, it's all they do. Their technicians are specifically centered around brakes. Don't call them if you need a tune-up. Don't call them if you need an oil change or something's going wrong with your car in the engine. Call them when you need brakes and work on your brakes because that's all they do. And they come to you. So you don't have to wait in a waiting room and watch bad television and drink cold coffee and sit around people you don't know. You can sit in your living room with a beer in your hand, watching a ball game or work in the yard or do whatever you're going to do around the house while they're in your driveway or in your garage, making your brakes good as new. And by the way, price is competitive with brake shops that you drive into. On top of that, reputation is phenomenal. Products are top shelf. Therefore, instead of it's like getting curbside groceries. Why would you go to the store and waste time and energy and put yourself out there to go to the store when you can have the groceries either delivered to you or curbside? Well, this is curbside delivery right to your driveway to get your brakes fixed. Mention ESPN 97.5, 10% discount right off the top. But as long as everything is equal, have them come to you and show you what they can do. Check them out today. It's NUBrakes.com, and they're going to take care of you. NUBrakes.com. It's NUBrakes.com.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
Hey, you
got better things to do than think about your electricity bill, but how do you avoid the surprise of a high bill at the end of the month? Here's what I do. I rely on the guys over at Champion Energy. With their low-price, fixed-rate plans, there's never any surprises. Plus, the team at Champion sends me weekly usage reports with my projected bill amount. Again, no surprises. They also remind me when my contract is about to expire so I can lock in on low prices. Visit champion.energy to view a variety of fixed-rate offers. That's champion.energy. Promo code 1560. Promo code 1560.
You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
See, savvy Rockets fans know, Nick. Someone texted the show and said, was Robert Barr the bald guy with the thick mustache?
Oh, I do know that guy.
Ra-ba-ba.
I do know that guy.
African-American gentleman, one of the nicest men you'll ever meet. But if there was, there weren't many people more powerful in the city of Houston than Robert Barr. Let me just get put that.
I remember his face now. I don't know him, but I remember his, I know who you're talking about now.
He'd walk into practice and Dream would go, Ra-ba-ba. Ah, Ra-ba-ba. Robert was the man.
Well.
Robert hired Keith Jones. I remember... There was a club called 2826, Nick. Way too young for you. 2826 was one of the hot spots in Houston when I first got here, like 94, 95-ish.
Why didn't you take me? I was only 10.
Yeah, because your fake ID was never going to get past the bouncer. It was right there. There's a place called the Mucky Duck back there, too. It was just a plain, no windows, square building, and it was kind of set behind which used to be Ninfa's on the corner of Kirby and Richmond. And it's behind the Academy on the feeder road. There's just a little area of buildings. And 2826 was back there. I think before that it was called Car Wash. But I walked into 2826 one night and Robert Barr had Keith Jones standing next to him. And he's like, Joel, I want you to meet the new trainer for the Rockets.
Oh, cool.
And I went, what? And I had seen Keith before. I go, you work for the Clippers, right? He goes, I did. I'm working here now. And I was like, oh, wow. Keith Jones, how many? He is vice president of basketball and he was head trainer forever for the Rockets. He's still here.
Yeah.
You talk about another guy.
Man, he's been there forever.
Now, we have a lot of nicknames for Keith. And they're all regarding the fact that if you want to know, get in touch with anybody in the league, Keith's your guy. He was trainer for USA Basketball with LeBron and all those big teams. Everyone knows Keith Jones. He is connected. He is an awesome dude. But there's another guy.
He's really a very approachable guy considering his position that he holds with Houston. He's not a guy that's very intimidating. Pretty consistent from all my dealings with him. Most people don't have anything bad to say about him. He's a super good dude.
Best dressed in the league, too. But absolutely.
He dresses well. Yeah, for sure.
He's very hip in the way he dresses. Yes, very current. But he had his own clothing company for a while. He did suits and everything for players in the league and coaches and everything like that. So, yeah, KJ is awesome. But KJ is another guy. You know, we talk about those guys that I warned you should never fight if you're in the NBA. There's also the guys that know everybody in the NBA. Robert Barr was a guy. Keith Jones is a guy.
Okay. Well, there you go.
There's some information on that as we continue to roll through.
So what else do you want to talk about? What's new? What's new in the world?
Well, I mean, other than that, I'm just looking. George Springer now dealing with a quad issue. So first,
it's no longer just the oblique.
Yeah, it was the oblique. Now it's a quad. He's still not playing. So,
but the Blue Jays are doing well without him, though.
Once he
gets added to the lineup on a consistent basis, which I think he will. I know there's been injury questions with him, but
they got a good team.
Yeah, I think they have a solid team, and I think they'll really appreciate a guy like George Springer in that clubhouse, you know? So once he gets healthy, so does that mean the obliques are still not completely healed and this is a new injury, or now they're both healing at the same? Is this a simultaneous situation?
I don't think
now?
They're connected.
Right.
So I believe that this is a separate new injury. So he was supposed to be coming back rather soon on the oblique, but now with this, maybe he's out in even more time. In terms of records within baseball, Phillies 4-1. Reds of all teams 5-1. Dodgers 5-1. Astros 5-1. So So far, so good if you're an Astros fan. And again, the home opener is tomorrow.
You going?
Well, no, because we're going to be broadcasting live downtown.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. How are you doing today?
Forgot about that already. Yeah. I forgot about that. Are we going to the strip club at least, like we talked about yesterday?
No. And by the way, AJ even said, too, I heard him when you asked him, that he ain't going either because he ain't doing that hassle with his wife.
Well, Angel on Twitch said, hey, y'all need to lighten up. I'll go to the strip club with my husband. What's your problem?
Man, that was Angel. Okay. Yeah. We're going to, by the way, just so you know, so that you can maybe plan ahead, if today is planning ahead enough, we're going to be at Cidercade tomorrow, Nick. Cidercade. Right by BBVA Stadium and by Minute Maid Park. CidercadeHouston.com. We're going to be there broadcasting live from 1 to 7 p.m. It's you and me and the Blitz.
Let's do it.
So therefore, if you want to slide over after the Blitz and go to the game, you can. I'm just telling you where you will be tomorrow.
Cidercade, baby.
Cidercade is over 275 arcade games, all unlocked for unlimited play. Very, very cool.
I've never been, so I'm looking forward to it.
I haven't either. 10 65-inch flat screens, 48 taps of different kinds of hard ciders, kombucha, seltzers, wines, all made by Bishop Cider. Sounds like a really fun place. Good place to get your drink on and get ready pregame before you get ready for the game, as we're going to be there all afternoon. Hey, Clarence says he's going to stop by. That's awesome. We'd love to see you, buddy. So that'll be fun for the home opener tomorrow.
They're asking me I should take Juggalo Trey there. If he wants to come, show up. I don't care. Juggalo Trey doesn't bother me. Show up. He's a star. He's a star in public.
Juggs might sign some autographs.
Yeah. So, sell some thanks, I guess, t-shirts or something. I don't know.
Ooh.
I bet you those would sell like a
hotcake. I bet you're absolutely right.
I bet you they would sell like a hotcake. You put like a cap on Juggalo Trey with his curly red hair covering his face backwards. It's just a picture, just a graphic of that. And it said thanks, I guess, under it. I guarantee you that would sell like hotcakes.
Bro.
Like hotcakes.
Spot on. I mean, how that hasn't already been done.
Thanks,
with,
I guess.
With his NASCAR getup on, with the curly locks and the unkept beard. And yeah.
Speaking of him and NASCAR and racing, I was looking for the John Candy documentary. Couldn't find it, so ended up watching
on Reels.
The Carable. Oh, it's on Reels. That's why I didn't.
Just go on demand on Reels.
In any case, I ended up watching a Carroll Shelby documentary.
Who's that?
He's Shelby.
Oh, Shelby Racing?
Yeah. Okay. Carroll Shelby was the man. Now, from he's Mustang? A G. Yeah, okay. He was the first to make the Shelby Cobra and compete with Ferrari because Enzo Ferrari hated him. So he just wanted to whoop Ferrari's ass. It was a really, really good documentary. I would encourage anybody. If you're not a car or like a muscle car guy or you don't like racing, I can see why you don't like it. But Carroll Shelby was an absolute beast. At one point, he signed up for this race that was like 2,000 miles long in Mexico. And remember, at this time, this is the 50s, there was no seatbelts. There was no safety precautions. There were no reinforced steel. So this guy goes in with the opportunity of winning $117,000 at that time. And he knew that that would change his life, his wife, his kids, everything. Ends up flipping the car. 9 people died the year before in the race before at the same race. He still took the chance, was doing really well, ended up flipping the car over, messed up his elbow super bad, and then ended up racing again with a bad elbow. I mean, this guy literally just wrapped it up with cloth. Like, it was not even a real-looking cast. And he went out and won races with his elbow all messed up. He would even attach his cast to the steering wheel to help with grip. Like, this dude was resilient. But this was a really good documentary. I yet to see the John Candy one, but I'll look it up on Reels.
Yeah,
you told me.
It's on Reels. Yeah, so you can catch that too. So
that's a really good documentary.
There you have that. So a couple of different things for you to view when you have some time and you're sitting at home watching some TV. So there's that. Someone said Keith Jones was in the movie Eddie with Whoopi Goldberg.
Was he?
I don't know. I'm texting him to find out, but Largo is saying that it sticks in his mind that he was, so I'm going to actually try and verify that. It wouldn't surprise me because, again,
it would surprise me that you didn't know about that.
There's a ton of people that call Keith Jones Black Jesus.
Really?
Yep. Because he is the man of the people, and everyone loves him. He is an amazing dude. He was in Space Jam. Okay, so he verified it, Largo.
Was he like
he
as a
not
trainer?
Not in Eddie, but he was in the first and initial Space Jam. How about that? Again, KJ, everywhere, man of the people. Love that dude. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. We're at the midway point of the show already, so lots more to get to. If you guys want to chime in, something on your mind you want to get off your chest, we're here for you. That's what Nick and I do. We get into conversations, we have discussions, and we have a good time. That's what we do. It's a press box. It's ESPN.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today. Is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, back. We always give back to you, the peeps that we love so much that keep us on the air and doing what we do. So therefore, we're going to give you a chance here to win a little something-something. But don't call now. At the end of this segment, so approximately around 2:41, we're going to take caller 6 at 2:41. No? When we go to break.
It's all good.
Because here's the thing. We don't have an intern working, so Nick's got to do this as well. So we'd like to do this during the commercial break. When we go to break, caller 6 is going to get the chance to win a four-pack of tickets to the Houston Fishing Show. If you're a big fisherman, if you love to fish and rods and reels and lures and guides and trips, well, the Houston Fishing Show is coming to town April 14th through the 18th. It's going to be at the GRB, and they have everything there under one roof, so it's a great place to go. Boats, hundreds of kayaks, kids' clinics, Saturday and Sunday. Well, okay, caller 6 when we go to break, 713-780-3776, wins a four-pack of tickets to the Houston Fishing Show. So if you love to fish, you know someone that does, and you want to give the tickets to them, make sure they get used. But if you want to learn about fishing, it's the 46th annual fishing show. If you don't win the tickets, you can still go. Check out HoustonFishingShow.com for more information.
There you go. Boom, there you go. That's it. I think we're going to be giving away those tickets every day this week, so there's plenty of opportunities for you to win that. Clarence, look, if Taylor Swift ever commits suicide, it's going to be your fault, Joel, Clarence, and anybody else that's ever had something bad to say about Taylor, because that's just absolutely inappropriate what KFC did.
I don't know which KFC this is. And I don't know where Clarence found it, but he retweeted it. But he actually tagged Nick, which was the absolute appropriate thing to do. But you want to read it, Nick? What is it? It's the KFC special.
Yeah, it's the KFC Taylor Swift special. Two bony thighs, two small breasts, and a left wing for $8.95. Not classy, KFC. Not classy at all.
I mean, you think she's hot, so.
She is.
No, she's not.
Yes, she is.
No, she's not.
Okay.
So there's that.
Yep.
All right. So Nick, someone wanted to know where the Shelby documentary
was. I believe it's on Netflix. I have to look on my Netflix account, but I'm pretty sure it's either HBO Max or Netflix. I want to say it's Netflix. Or YouTube. I might have done that. I don't remember.
Way to have it all lined up so that the peeps can
Netflix first and then YouTube. Or check YouTube first and then Netflix.
Just Google it. Figure it out. Astros game tomorrow night, 7:10, by the way. So you can go hang with us in the Blitz. And then if you're going to the game, you can slide on over to Minute Maid Park. Or you can watch the game there at Cidercade. But we're going to be there as we continue to get out and about now as things start to loosen up a little bit. So that should be fun. Looking forward to being downtown, in and around with the peeps, having a good time. So, mark your calendars. Clarence says he's going to be there. We maybe Juggalo Trey is going to find his way
to
get there.
290 might be there too. So there's a few.
The DRE's people. The DRE's a season ticket holder. So Dr. Dre is a season ticket holder. So he's probably going to slide by before he heads to the game. So that is fantastic. So we got that going for us, which is nice, and we'd love to see you too. As we mentioned, Tiger Woods was going double the speed limit. That's why he crashed, according to the sheriff's department out there in Los Angeles.
And we were talking about how even if you're going 45 miles an hour, that you could it's just like a really weird curve and that it's kind of a scary place to turn. So for him to go above 80 miles an hour, or at least 80 miles an hour. I saw 83. I saw another report that said between 84 and 87. I'm not smart enough to figure out how they figured these numbers out. But, I mean, if it's dangerous at 45 miles an hour, I'm not sure what Tiger was thinking at 84 miles an hour.
There's a lot of factors that go into this. I think that I'm actually thankful that it wasn't drug-related. Whether it was medication for an injury or it was just like the last time he got pulled over and it was just so embarrassing to
see. More lenient unless it's alcohol because, like, the guy's been through quite a bit of serious injuries. I would imagine he's on some painkillers and some sleep medication.
He was on his way to a shoot. It was for, I think, Golf Digest. If you're late, you know how it goes. Like you said, Nick, I mean, we all go 80 in a 45, 55 sometimes. Sometimes you're just running late, and you know that, especially if it's not just a tee time, if he's running late and he's got a shoot with Dwayne Wade, I think it was, or whoever it was, and a couple of guys, and he knows that, you know, he's got to get there, well, sometimes you got to step on it a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm so relieved, actually, and that's why when you mentioned at the start of the show, why in the hell is this the number one story in the breaking news on ESPN? I think more so because they tried to hide it at first and they protected him when they don't protect anybody else.
That actually makes a little more sense. It still doesn't make sense to me for them to be on the front page, though.
Right. I'm just absolutely thankful that it wasn't a relapse with drugs or alcohol-related or some kind of chemical intake. That is actually makes me feel better. Because
it just would have made the whole situation worse. I don't know how the golf community would have reacted to him. You know what I mean? Like, you know how they are about their squeaky clean image and how they want people to portray themselves and carry themselves. So it would have been a much worse situation. I think all in all, they probably would have forgave him anyway, just because he's Tiger. But, you know, it's not like a situation where he's just sleeping with multiple women and cheating on his wife over and over and over again. But, you know.
Yeah. And someone made the comparison or asked us yesterday about how does this compare to Tiger Woods, what Deshaun Watson is going through. I don't think there's any comparison because, I mean, what Deshaun Watson is going through is potentially breaking the law, but it's definitely abusing women. I think from a Tiger Woods perspective, these women participated wantingly, and they did whatever that, you know, Rachel Yucatel and all from the Waffle House chick.
Oh, my God. Yucatel was detailed.
Yeah. And you know what? And they fell in love with him. And they went along with every bit of the plan. And
the high school girlfriend was a little much. I mean, she has carried over so many details about their relationship. She still loves him, clearly. Yeah, you could tell in that documentary. And she still has the letter that he wrote. Yep. Dude, like, it's obvious his parents were influencing him when he wrote that letter to you and broke up with you. Like, you're bringing this up in your 40s? Like, wow, that's crazy. Here's something else I wanted to bring up to you, and I meant to bring this up either yesterday or the day before, but we talked about Kevin Durant and Michael Rapoport and the little exchange that they had in their DMs and how Michael Rapoport eventually reached out to his lawyer, published the DMs that Kevin Durant sent to him, and they were misogynistic and anti-gay, and your woman or your wife doesn't respect you, and blah, 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 blah. We talked about all this. Well, he went on and he did an interview, and he got a little emotional about it. I want you to listen to it, Joel, and then give me your thoughts. Tell me what you think.
So you've had time to really think about everything.
Oh, it's been crazy. It's been tough. You know, the last few days have been tough, have been crazy. I've gone out of the house and I get, you know, sneers and I get finger pointing and I don't do good with sneers and snickers. And then I actually went to the dog park with my dog, and people that usually, you know, say hello and even play with my dog, they don't want to play with my dog Wheezy. And then, you know, I went to my coffee shop and they said, not today, Cupcake. And it's weird. It's like, why are you calling me Cupcake? And then I get online and social media, and, you know I put it out there, but, you know, people online have been so cruel and mean. And I have to say,
if he's trolling and this is fake, he fooled me.
I'm buying it. Sinker, I bought in. I was like, that's not the tough guy Rapoport that's always out there on social media busting people's chops and talking crap to him.
His dog, his name is Wheezy. Wheezy, and they wouldn't say hi to Wheezy. That's hurtful. Say hi to Wheezy.
By the way,
If you saw Weezy, would you say hi?
Is he not a different version of Pat McAfee, both with Barstool experiences? Pat McAfee sounds a lot like Rappaport.
I feel like he's less emotional, though.
Well, in that case, yes. But at the same time, they do have a lot of similarities. But from the standpoint of, I was not expecting that from Michael Rappaport. Because he's always been the tough guy. He's been the tough guy talking mess and cussing at everybody, and whether it, you know, political or going at certain people. And the thing is, he brought this all on himself because he put the DMs out there. No one asked him to put the DMs out there. Certainly Kevin Durant didn't ask him to put the DMs out there.
And you can tell from Kevin Durant's apology, Joel, that he wasn't apologizing for what he said to Michael
Rappaport. He wasn't apologizing
to
Rappaport. He was sorry that his fans saw
public. Yeah, that it was made public. He wasn't apologizing.
And the language used and the terminology and all.
He was very specific in the way he apologized on the podium.
And I don't do good with sneers and snickers. And then I actually went to the dog park with my dog. And people that usually, you know, say hello and even play with my dog, they don't want to play with my dog, Wheezy.
You would play with Wheezy.
Your dog, Wheezy, is paying the price for the fact that you decided to be sleazy and put the DM out there so that everybody could see the conversation that caused all this heartbreak.
Whether he's trolling or not, that's hilarious.
I think it sounds like it's legit in my mind.
They are kind of cruel for not saying hi to Wheezy. Say hi to Wheezy. You say hello.
He's gotten his feathers ruffled by a lot less than people not saying hello to his dog.
Yeah, see, Wheezy is the victim here. I agree. You walk right past Wheezy like he's just some kind of dog and don't say hi to Wheezy.
That's what you get offended by. Okay, then. Then that's on
you. The cupcake thing, that's different, but I just want to know if he's trolling or not, because he looked like he was genuinely crying. I mean, it's not just audio, it's video. You know what I mean?
I wouldn't expect that out of him. He just seems to me like he's if anything, he's over the top emotionally like upset guy. I didn't expect to hear him crying and sobbing about
play
that
with
kind
my
of
dog
stuff.
Wheezy.
Play with his dog Wheezy. I think it's not right. Not fair.
Maybe Wheezy and Chiquita could have a play day.
You know what? Chiquita would probably be very rude to Wheezy.
Manny on Twitter says he was trolling. Keep playing the clip of Rappaport. He was trolling.
It's mixed.
Did you hear the whole thing? Was it part of a longer discussion?
I just heard this 1 minute and however long. So it was a whole interview, but this was the part of the interview where he got emotional. Regardless, I think it's hilarious if he's trolling or not. But the Wheezy part is just, I can't get over it. I'm not trying to make, well, I guess I am trying to make fun of him, but it's the Wheezy part's hilarious to me.
Look, for all the Kevin Durant, soft as hell things that he's done and said, and the burner account.
Yep.
I side with Rappaport. The only thing that I don't side with Rappaport is, why now? Why do you decide to put the DMs out there now?
Why
did you decide? Because you had to realize there was going to be backlash. For everybody that loves you and follows you on social media, KD's got enough of a following too where they're going to be pissed off.
I know that's exactly what happened. I mean, that's probably why he's getting all this backlash.
Exactly.
Oh, I mean, that's, and it's probably, listen, if we want to talk real, it's the same community that probably was supporting him. I would imagine he has a big black community that follows him. So I'm pretty sure it's a lot of the people that followed him, and they're upset at his comments or upset at the fact that he published it or whatever the case may be.
Now,
it's probably
if this was
excessive
in New York
and above and beyond.
When he was walking the dog and you realize that Kevin Durant now plays in New York, now the fan quotient's going to be even bigger on his side.
Oh, that's another good point.
So that's something he's got to think about before Wheezy the dog gets shut down.
Yep. You would think he would know that information.
You would think, but instead now he's emotional, and I don't feel for him because of the fact that it's not the dog's fault, it's your fault for putting the DMs out there. That's the problem. My God, think next time with your ass.
Play with Wheezy, people.
Think with your head, not your ass.
Just play with him.
You play with Chiquita?
All the time.
Well, then, there you go. When in doubt, play with your dog.
There's a lot of people that are mad. He's an actor. Come on, guys. You can't believe he was really crying. I'm like, okay. Okay. You're Michael Rappaport fans. I'm not mad. Like, whatever. I just wanted to play the audio and hear him talk about his dog, Wheezy.
Nick.
Which, to be honest.
Tweet that out there.
What?
Put that out there.
Okay, I'll tweet it out.
Yeah, the video, because people are asking for it. Because they want to see if by looking at the video, if you could tell if he's actually acting and trolling or he's actually being sincere.
I will retweet it right now. At the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel.
There you go.
At the producer Nick.
All right, it's that time. We're heading to the break. Caller 6. Got a chance to win that 4-pack of tickets to the fishing show.
Other than that, we'll be back right back with a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. It's Press Box ESPN.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Now Michael Rappaport's catching it, and they're talking about it on the Twitch. The bottom line is, I guess if you think he's a comedian, okay. But I mean, the fact of the matter is, he's got over 125 act. Nick and I were talking about this a week or so ago when the Durant story came out. He's got like 125 credited acting roles in movies and television.
But I thought the same thing. I thought he was a comedian first, but when I looked him up, they call him an actor first before comedian. But who knows? I mean, I thought he came up as a comedian. So for those of you who are Michael Rappaport fans, I'm sorry if I got that wrong. I just retweeted it, by the way, at the producer, Nick. I was looking for it. Thanks to Ape Rob for giving me the video. But I just retweeted it at the producer, Nick. But no, I thought he was a comedian first. But I thought he was a comedian that ended up landing movie roles from his comedic career is what I thought. I thought that was his path, but I could be wrong. And if you want to see for yourself and engage for yourself whether or not you thought he was trolling or being genuine, not only is it on his Twitter account, at Michael Rappaport, but I just retweeted it at the producer, Nick, at Pac-Man Joel. So, yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure Twitch is having a field day. But when you say, you know, you're crying and they won't talk to your dog or play with your dog, Wheezy, you either mean it or you're joking. I mean, there's no middle ground.
He loses credibility. If he is indeed being serious, now all those people that got into it, you know, that really got into all of his bashing of, he's always been anti-Trump, but he's been really strong.
And pretty public about it. Yeah,
he's been real strong on Trump and on politics. He's been real strong on certain takes with certain subjects. Now, all of a sudden, if he's crying about Wheezy, people are going to be like, come on, man. You can't have it both ways. Either you're going to be, you know, social media tough guy, or you're going to be super sensitive, but you can't be both.
You can't. But he doesn't seem like he's letting this up. I mean, he's not letting this go. You know, I never thought that would be a situation with Kevin Durant. Like, when we talked about Kevin Durant in his early years, when we talked about Kevin Durant at OKC, Joel, and you were obviously still attached to the Rockets when this was all happening, no one would have expected, or at least maybe, you know, maybe his close friends knew him in ways that we didn't. No one would have expected that we would be hearing Kevin Durant in the news, not in that light. Not that he has a burner account. He's going at people on DMs and texting them and DMing them like that. Like, you wouldn't have never thought KD. Like, if I had to choose between that tandem that was at OKC, Russell Westbrook or Kevin Durant, I'm not going to lie. I would have judged Russell Westbrook and I would have assumed he would be the guy to do something like that. But no. It was Kevin Durant, and it's been Kevin Durant, and I think he kind of knows. But
yeah, I didn't hear it and see the whole thing, so I don't know for sure. But like I said, I mean, I would hope that he was trolling, because if not, he loses credibility on all the other things that he's done. But at the same time, he did this to himself too, because he's the one that decided at that certain time that he should publicize the DMs. So
on this particular tweet, though, they're saying, watch till the very end, almost shed a tear-ish. So I don't know if this particular one is the same one I watched, but I want to know what they're talking about at the very end, but I'll look at that in the break. I just thought that was an interesting story, the way it all turned out.
You know what? And again,
so someone says on Twitter, see, this is what I wanted. Someone says he later says to Skip and Shannon he was kidding about the dog in the coffee shop. See, I thought there was a possibility he was trolling. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he just seems like he's got thick skin and he's too tough for that, because he's always talking crap and he's always firing off hot takes on people.
Yeah, so like
seemed like that caught me off guard when you played that.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to play it, because like, he's gotten heat before. Like, he's gotten the business on social media before, publicly on Twitter and on Instagram and stuff. So I don't know what you know.
I'm not sure. But now was he? Because again, people are going to start poo pooing on the 125 acting roles. Wasn't he in Colors with Sean Penn?
I think he was. I think we talked about this last time.
I don't remember all of his movie roles, but I know that he had enough between radio and TV that were decent. They weren't all just like bit parts. So, you know, that's how I always think of him. I always thought of him as an actor. And then he always played in the celebrity game at NBA All-Star Weekend. He was always hooping.
So from his, what is it, the IMDb?
Yep. IMDb, yep.
I guess he's been in... He's been in quite a bit, a lot of movies. I don't see Colors. Okay. Chuck, Sully, Dice, Stand Up Guy, Big Bang Theory, which is a TV series, The Guest Book, The Simpsons, I guess he had a role, Blackjack, The Jackie Ryan Story. I mean, this guy has a pretty long resume on IMDb. So, Saints Row 2, that's a TV series.
Does it list his movies? JD says he wasn't in Colors. I know that there was one movie where.
Hitch? He was Ben in Hitch. Okay. Yeah, I mean, he's. I mean, regardless, I mean, this IMDb is Men going back to like the early, like 1990.
Men of Honor with Cuba Gooding Jr. and Robert De Niro. Copeland, someone said. So, but like I said, I mean, dude, he's not hurting for money, and he's got a ton of acting credits.
And he even played a skinhead in one of these movies. Interesting.
Which one?
Let me see.
Wasn't American History X, was it?
Let's see. The Basketball Diaries in 1995, he played a skinhead.
Okay.
I have to watch. Is that a good? Have you watched The Basketball Diaries?
I watched it back in the day. I don't recall it right off the top of my head, but okay. That sounds right.
So, yeah.
All right. So there's the latest on that, whether he was trolling or not. I didn't see that one coming. Daniel on Twitter said he was the main dude in Higher Learning with Ice Cube. So there again, when we start rattling off all these,
he's an actor.
Look, there's something to be said. Whether you thought he was a comedian or not, he's an actor.
He's an actor. Yeah, he's still an actor. I mean, you can't take that away from him.
Sean Miller's been fired after 12 seasons at Arizona. Joins his brother Archie, who was let go by Indiana. As the Miller brothers are out there, Sean Miller's been in the heat of all of this that's going on with the scrutinizing of the recruiting that's been going on with DeAndre Ayton, and as it surrounded the Arizona program for the last couple of seasons, along with Auburn, LSU, and other programs. Lots of different allegations have been thrown out there in terms of recruiting. Miller thought he probably was going to lose his job about a year ago, but now it's come to fruition. He's gone. Arizona looking for a new head coach. I threw the name Damon Stoudemire out there. I thought if you're going to go like Carolina did with someone from the quote-unquote family that had played there but has the ability to get recruits to pay attention because you played in the league, you have NBA experience, and you went to the university – Damon Stoudemire, like Hubert Davis at Carolina, would be a good fit.
And he was just a dog. I mean, I think a lot most people appreciated the Trailblazers back then, with an exception of the fact that he was a part of the Jailblazers, and they got that name for quite a long time. Because I think, was it who? Rasheed Wallace, him. Who were the Jailblazers?
Oh, my God. Cliff Robinson.
Cliff Robinson, Rasheed Wallace, Rasheed Damon Wallace. Stoudemire.
Yep.
They were all getting locked up. It was just left and
Zach
right.
Randolph was in there for a while with Portland, because remember the Hoop Fam, and I told you the stories about Zach Randolph's Hoop Fam, and they were notorious in Portland as part of that deal.
I like those stories. Yeah. I actually like Zach Randolph's stories in general, because I'm sure he's a guy you don't want to mess with, and he has stories that he could tell
Daniel
you for
says
days.
Bonzi Wells, absolutely.
Bonzi Wells, for sure. By the way,
Bonzi Wells is a great dude. He's now a big golfer, too. Bonzi Wells, we had him in Houston late in his career. For everything that I've heard about and everything like that, could not have been a more laid-back, cool dude
really?
Than Bonzi Wells.
I would have never viewed Bonzi Wells as a laid-back dude.
He was a good dude. Josh Smith and Bonzi Wells are two of the guys that...
Kind of have bad
that
reps.
That I had heard so much about that I could not say enough good things about.
Interesting.
Yeah, they were both good dudes. So that was interesting.
It's funny how that works, though.
Yep. Yeah, by the way, the Hoop Fam with Zach Randolph. I've warned you about that, but they made their presence felt in Portland, Oregon. But yeah, the story that went around when they were called the Jailblazers, too. At one point, someone on the team one day thought it would be a really good idea if they drove around downtown Portland with high-powered, very realistic-looking squirt guns. And then it was on every news live. They had almost, I forget how many members of the team, face down laying on the road because they thought they were real guns and the authorities got involved. It was just story after story back then. It was crazy.
That's hilarious.
All right, two in the books. Still got an hour to go. 60 minutes on the clock. Lots more of the show. We want you guys to be a part of it. You guys are all chiming in all these different acting roles for Michael Rapaport. So we appreciate you. But we appreciate you listening more than anything else. We got the final hour coming up next. Don't go anywhere. It is the Press Box.
Play with my dog, Wheezy.
Oh, he played Remy in Higher Learn.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.